All right, Genesis chapter 2. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this day. We pray, Lord, now that you'd open our hearts and help us understand a little better about the purpose of marriage. We thank you, Lord, for the institution of marriage that you created so many years ago from the very foundation of the earth, practically. Pray, Lord, now that you would just speak to our hearts. Help us to appreciate our spouses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the purpose of marriage? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Do we get married just so that we'll have somebody that can help us balance the checkbook? So we can have a secretary to remind us of things. Our wives especially are pretty good at that part, usually, right? And my wife will do that. Don't forget, you know, this week is this. I'm like, what? And she said, I told you about this before. Am I talking like some of the other guys here now? And you look at your wife like a really blank look, and she's told you the same thing three times and that sort of thing. Do we get married just so we can have maybe someone that can manage the remote control on the TV and annoy the other person? Is that why we get married? No. Though that's typically the man's job there, right? Getting a hold of that remote control and flicking from channel to channel. It seems to be a man kind of problem. Do we get married so that we might have somebody that would be willing to cook for us and clean up after us and pick up our dirty laundry and fold our clothes and those sorts of things? Is that why we get married? That might be one of the reasons we get married, but you better not let her know that's why you got married, okay? You're in trouble, Brother Richard. Obviously, I hope we got married for a bigger and better reason than that. Did we get married so that we might have somebody to help us finish our sentences? Sounds familiar. Especially the longer you've been married, I think the more likelihood that is, because you start learning each other's thoughts and patterns, and they're a little bit predictable, perhaps, and that sort of thing. Maybe it's somebody to help you locate a certain place if you're married to she's in a nursery, I can say this, someone that is directionally challenged. You know, she still asks me where things are. How long have we lived in Fairbanks now, and how big is Fairbanks? Okay. Sorry, Kim, I love you, if you hear this. Anyway, there's a whole lot of reasons, you know, that seems like some people get married. And all those may be some reasons people get married, a little hopefully mine, the major or primary reasons for marriage. But I believe it's important that we do learn the purpose of marriage from a biblical point of view, don't you? And I'll give you an upfront warning here, as I do sometimes. This may be a two or a three-part message, depending on how it all goes, so we'll see. All right? Again, we're looking today at the purpose of marriage. And, of course, there's more than one purpose. I believe God instituted that in the humankind. But we'll begin today by looking in Genesis chapter 2. And follow along with me as I read verses 18 down through 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help, meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall the man, a man, leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." All right, so I believe we see the purpose of marriage, or especially the primary purpose of marriage, in the very first verse that we read today, in verse 18. And it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be" what? Alone. It's for companionship, to solve the problem of aloneness or being alone. All right, so God's primary purpose for marriage is companionship. Now, I want you to notice the order of events here in these verses that we just read. It says that God created Adam on the sixth day, and then God said it is not good for Adam to be alone. And then, does this seem a little weird to you, perhaps, what it tells us happens next? God brings all the animals there to Adam. Why? I think to drive home the point, you are alone. Adam has all these animals brought before him. He sees the boar and the sow. He sees the rooster and the hen. He sees the lion and the lioness. He sees the bull and the heifer. He sees the stallion and the mare. And I don't know the names of a male monkey versus a female monkey, but he sees them both. And you go on and on, down species after species after species, right? And he sees that, and he thinks, that's pretty neat, you know? There's a male, and there's a female. And he looks around, and he's like, where's mine? I'm alone. There's not a being comparable to me. Not like me. All other species, they have both a counterpart, okay? And so that's what it's talking about here. The word meet means comparable to, or corresponding to, fitting, suitable, and so forth. So he looks again that there's not one comparable or corresponding to him. So God says he's going to create a help meet comparable to Adam himself. Now, it's not good that Adam should dwell alone, and only the woman could fulfill Adam's need and help him not to be alone or lonely. Now, pets, they're wonderful as they are. Animals of one sort or another, they can be a great source of companionship, but they don't replace your spouse. They can never fulfill that place in humankind. So it's important that you know that. God wanted them to become one flesh in order to fulfill the need for companionship. And Malachi uses the word companionship when he talks about one's wife. In Malachi 2:14, for example, it says, yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So does Solomon in Proverbs. He uses or refers to one's spouse as one's companion. Proverbs 2:17, it says, which forsakes the guide. The word guide here is the same word translated companion elsewhere. The companion or the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So we see very clearly then, I believe, to me it's at least very clearly, from this passage, from Malachi, from Proverbs 2:17, that a spouse is supposed to fulfill the need for companionship. It's clear from these passages that marriage is simply a covenant, and a covenant is an agreement entered into between two people for the purpose of companionship. So whenever you stand before God and before a church or wherever you took your vows, that's what you're promising to do. I'm going to be a companion to this woman. And the woman is saying, I will be this man's companion. You are agreeing before God that that's what you're going to do. That's the role you're going to fulfill. So that's where we need to be. This is the problem. This is why we get married in the first place, isn't it? Really, if you stop and you think about it, it's loneliness. I remember a long, long time ago being a lonely, single airman praying that God would send me a wife. And eventually, I met my wife, who became my wife, Kim. To fulfill, I believe, in direct answer to that prayer because of loneliness. You know, hanging around with the guys, going to play miniature golf, going to do this, going to do that, go skiing, whatever the case. That's all fun and good, but those are guys. And it's not quite the same thing. There was still loneliness, in my own life at least, that those guys could not fulfill. So the purpose of marriage, the primary purpose, is companionship. Now, the word companion actually means to knit together. Now, isn't that pretty neat? When you think of a marriage that is fulfilling this role of companionship, it is when your two lives are knit together. And I've watched, you know, I've never knitted before, although a couple of times Kim's been having trouble with some stitches, and I try to help her figure them out or something when she's starting to do something new, but that's my extent of knitting. But I think it's pretty neat when they get these different skeins of yarn, is that what it's called? Different colors and everything, and they knit it all together, and then it becomes one thing. Instead of separate things, it becomes one thing, like an afghan or whatever, right? Or a sweater, or whatever they're knitting, potholder, who knows what. Okay? That's what's going on here, and that's the way it should be with our life. Our lives should not be two separate lives that we just are like ships passing in the night every once in a while. Hey, how are you? How are you? Bye. See you later. I'm going out to work. It's more than that. Marriage is much more than that. It is when your lives are knit together in such an integral thing that it can't really be separated from one another. That's what marriage is supposed to be. Okay, so how can, I'm going to try to give you some practical ways here, I hope at least, some practical ideas on how you can knit together your life with your spouse. Very simple. These aren't, you know, giant brain activities going here, developing all these things, but spend some time together with this person you call your spouse. Again, sometimes we get so busy. And right now, I'm feeling that way with the building thing going on. You know, Kim's birthday was just a couple of days ago, and I barely even told her happy birthday because we didn't spend a whole lot of time together or anything. We're actually doing a cake thing today. So a little delayed reaction, but we weren't able to spend a lot of time together, although we did go out in the evening and do something. But it's important that you spend time alone. Get rid of the kids, find that babysitter, do whatever you need to do so that you can have time alone. Put your kids to bed early. If you can't afford a babysitter, or you don't have grandma and grandpa or somebody that you can pawn them off on for an evening or something, put them to bed at a decent hour so that you can spend some time together. Do whatever it takes to spend time together with the wife of thy youth. Would you do that? It'll help knit your life together. Develop some common interests would be another way. Now, I don't know what all your interests are, and sometimes you have to span your horizons a little bit and learn to like some things that you may not normally have thought you might like. You might want to go fishing together. I'm not an avid fisherman myself. But some people really like that. And I'm sure there's some ladies that don't really like fishing and the guys really like fishing. But hey, go to the lake with them once in a while or whatever the case is. It might be landscaping out in the yard or gardening. Whatever the case is, working with wood, doing something. Just go sightseeing. Ride around in the car, you know. Could be your hobby to go taste ice cream at every place in the area. Whatever the case is, spend time together. Develop some common interests. And it'll help knit your life together. But don't leave out ministry. Nothing, I believe, is more effective at knitting one's life together than actually serving the Lord together. Look at the Mullins up here together. They both have the same common desire to serve the Lord. You know, that's an important hobby, if you will, or common interest that they both have. And that helps them to have a strong marriage. It'll help you have a strong marriage if you're both wanting to serve the Lord together. Minister in some way or another. Communication is another important area to help knit your life together. You need to learn to communicate needs, desires, and tell the person how they can help fulfill this role for, or this need that you have for companionship. Talk to each other, in other words. I know most people don't think of me this way, but actually I believe, at least I used to be, a very quiet individual. I would much rather just listen and talk, especially in a group setting. And fortunately, when we're riding in a car, I do a lot of listening and that sort of thing. And but you know, Kim is an outgoing person, and she was easy for me to talk to. Okay, listen to, I should say. Okay. I've noticed that before. I've looked in my rearview mirror, and I look back, and a woman's going like this, and a guy's going like this. I thought, that looks like us, I bet. Sometimes. No, I'm getting myself in trouble here. I'm going to have to start covering up the microphone if I don't keep. All right, but anyway, the idea is to communicate. You know, somehow or another, learn to communicate. You may not always like it. You may have to move out of your comfort zone, so to speak, and learn to actually voice your feelings and so forth. Whatever it takes, learn, do what you need to do there. Involve each other. This kind of goes along with it, but involve each other in your dreams and your hopes and the decision-making process. I hope you married who you married because they have a brain, at least part of it, right? And hopefully they're a godly individual. And if they're a Christian, the Spirit of God resides in them, giving them some wisdom. And especially if they're a mature believer, I mean, you ought to talk to your spouse about important decisions and value that input. What do you think about this? And especially because our wives are going to see things from a little different perspective than us guys usually. And that is important. And it'll help you. Involve your maid in some decision-making things, and that will be important, I believe, in helping to knit your lives together. Pray together. Study the Bible together. Worship together. Speak kind, encouraging, and edifying words to one another. You know, I've been around some couples every once in a while in my lifetime, and it seems like they bicker all the time, and they're always, for lack of a better word, cutting each other down verbally and things. They're talking about, my husband, he can't do this, and my wife, boy, she's such a bad whatever. That's not good, especially in front of your mate. That's hard. That's not knitting together. That's unraveling when you do that sort of thing. You need to learn to build each other up. You know, who in here is perfect? That's what I thought. Most of us know our faults, don't we? So I just admitted one of mine to you a while ago. I'm not very good at communicating, really, and sharing my feelings. You know, I'm not good at that. But do I need to really be told that all the time? See, we all have faults. We all have problems. We all need to grow in certain areas and develop and become more like God wants us to be. But we don't always need all those faults pointed out continually. We need to be encouraged and uplifted. And that's what it means to knit your life together. A husband who maybe overlooks some of the faults and encourages his wife in this other area that she does well, you know what? She's going to love and respect that man instead of him tearing her down. And the same thing when the woman does that, you know? He may not be a great carpenter, but you know what? He's good at helping take care of the kids. Well, don't belittle his crooked wall or whatever he was trying to build. He did the best he could, I think. More than likely, don't you? Talk to him about, you're such a good husband. I mean, look how much you helped me here with the kids. Build him up. Communicate positively, not negatively. It's very easy to be negative and always see those negative things. You know, you burnt that meal last time too or whatever, you know. Hey, what about the other 9 out of 10 times she didn't burn the meal or whatever? You know what I mean? Look at the good. Look at the positive. Speak kind, encouraging, edifying words to one another. Never put down, never belittle the other person, especially in front of other people while she's there or he's there. Put the needs of your mate above your own needs and above the needs of others. Now, obviously, take that with the way it's meant. Okay. Johnny just fell down and got really hurt, the bones sticking out of his arm or something. You can't say, well, I'll take care of that a little later. You know, right now my husband needs some time with me. No. Obviously, you got to use some common sense here, right? But maybe Johnny's just feeling a little whatever. Do you need to spend a lot of time with him right then? Maybe your husband needs some time or your wife needs time. And you see what I mean here? You got to learn to spend time and put the needs of your mate above the needs of others, even your own children at times. show tender affection toward each other. You can show tender affection in various ways, verbally and physically, not just one or the other, but both, I think, are important. You know, you can say, whisper those sweet words, those sweet nothings like you used to do when you first, oh, you're so wonderful, you're such a good whatever, oh, honey bunch and sugar pie and all these things, and write some notes and communicate. Again, your affection toward her. Show tender affection verbally and physically, you know. Pat her on the rear. I shouldn't say that maybe behind a pulpit. Put your arm around her, squeeze her, give her a little massage. Oh, they'll melt like butter, right? Show that you love her. Show him that you love him. You know, massage their feet. Whatever it takes. Right, guys and gals? Show some tender affection for your mate. Do these sorts of things, okay? And these are just, again, some various ways. I'm trying to be practical here, give you some ideas and how you might be able to knit your life together with your spouse. Just as it takes purposeful weaving to create an afghan or whatever object you might be knitting together, it takes purposeful weaving together of your life. I don't know about you, but everything doesn't come naturally to me, and probably not to you. Most people in this world are born very self-centered, aren't they? If you stop and you really think about it, me, 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 look in the nursery, what happens? That's mine, that's mine, that's mine. What's the difference between us and little kids? We try to learn to control that a little bit as we get older, right? But deep down, most of us are still very self-centered, and we need to put away some of that selfishness and learn to love and cherish our mate like God wants us to, and purposefully weave our life in with theirs. And if you do that, you can have a strong marriage, I believe. Now, you need to be careful, because any area you don't weave together, It's going to be susceptible to unraveling, so to speak. If it's very loosely knit together, it's easy to snag on something, so to speak, and weave together. If you don't weave your life together with your mate, and then there's a coworker that maybe is a little interested in your mate, the temptations are going to be there, aren't they? There's chances of the marriage falling apart when two lives are not knit together like they ought to be. But a marriage in which they've knitted themselves together and really and truly, honestly become one flesh, that marriage is going to be hard to break up. They're going to be able to withstand storms of life. Death in the family or whatever happens, or that temptress or whatever it is, maybe at work, that marriage will be able to withstand that if your lives are knit together. I think I'll probably stop here for today. But I want to let you know, next week we're going to be going into a second purpose of God's marriage. And I'll go ahead and tell you what it is, just so you'll know. And it's also found there in verse 18. It says, I will make him a help meet for him. God's second purpose is not only to cure loneliness, companionship, but also for help, for assistance. And two people, when they're married together and they're helping one another in the job that God has given them to do, that's going to be a good, strong marriage as well. So, ladies, your number one goal, besides being a companion, is to help the man in your life, to help your husband. And we're going to look at that a little later, okay, next week, Lord willing. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, now that you speak to all of our men and our women, we pray, Lord, that you'd help all of our couples here, our families, to have such a relationship that is strongly knit together, so that no matter what comes in their life, that they may be able to withstand it together. We pray, Lord, that you just help us to all really have this one flesh type relationship in our marriage. Pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts and our lives. If there's someone here that's struggling in their marriage in one way or another, they've not knitted themselves together, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak to their hearts and maybe help them to talk to their mate a little later and maybe even ask for forgiveness, whatever the case is, and determine in their heart that they will do what it takes to knit their life together with their mate that you've chosen for them. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.